We've got Gene Boldick here in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler. We were talking about the Kids Q question before we took our break. If there was a tropical island made just for you, what would you find on it? And Gene and I both very quickly went to food. But during the break, you had a really good addition to this as
yeah,
well.
I'm thinking that a water slide,
water
like a
slide
natural
good,
water
right?
slide, you know, something that starts as a waterfall and then, you know, goes into some rapids or something.
Right,
that would be
right.
That would be nice.
So
and,
not a fake plastic.
Right.
It would have to be like one of those farm-to-table water
yeah,
slides.
Nothing
right?
man-made.
Yeah.
Right. Made by natural forces. Right.
And Gene is the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, talking about politics and government and serious issues every single weekend. And it is time for our favorite game show on this show, Thing Not a Thing, in which Gene and I look at all of the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide whether they are in fact things or if they are not really things. And since everyone is talking about immigration this week and the family crisis on the border is obviously a thing.
Right. But let's dispense with what is not a thing, at least not for me.
Okay, go for it.
The
yeah,
jacket.
I was going to ask you
yeah,
what is not a thing. Right. Yeah.
The jacket.
The
people,
jacket.
You know,
we're talking about Melania's I Don't Care jacket.
Melania's I Don't Care jacket. And, you know, yesterday, I was at the New Sheets up there on 86 at I-85.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just went in to walk around, check it out. Hey, you know what it looks like? It looks like every other Sheets. So
I was going to say,
not really a surprise.
I know that there are other things to do in Hillsborough on a
know,
Thursday.
Right? Well, you know, you had to be there, but it seemed like the thing to do at the time. And so we were walking around there, and we're walking out, and this woman walks in, and she's wearing a T-shirt that says, "Breaking news, I don't care."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to me that this is probably a sort of a pop culture trend in specialty T-shirts and clothes.
Right. This is clearly a that, designer jacket
yeah,
that she was
that,
wearing.
That, that wraps itself around the idea of that being disconnected from this stuff is what's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it reminds me of...
I don't know. I was apathetic before I got
And
big.
Now I really yeah. can't. Yeah, I just can't even get there.
Yeah.
What it reminds me of is how people say, and you say, oh, did you see such and such on the news? And, you know, isn't this awful or isn't this great or, you know, or whatever. And that people say, oh, I don't watch the news. Too depressing.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, okay. Well, if you'd like to know how we get to, you know, 25% turnout in off years.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good piece of the reason right there.
Yeah.
That people think they're conveying to you that their lives and what they're busy with is more important than having any idea what's happening in the world around them that doesn't impact them personally.
Yeah.
That's a discouraging trend to me. If you look around online at things that you can buy online and
right.
so forth,
the
I think
off
you'll
of,
see a lot of that feeling
yes,
in it.
Yes, yeah. The shutting off of the news because it's too depressing is not a new thing. That's been going
right.
on forever and
That's
ever
right.
and ever. And I think the news outlets do have a significant amount of responsibility and culpability here because
True.
A lot of times when I look at, and every day before I come on the
right.
air, I get online, I look at all of the news outlets, I look at ours, I look at the Associated Press, what's coming down the wire, and very often, and I really see this with the AP stuff, all of the news that makes the wire is murder, murder, death, death, murder, death, murder. And
right.
this is, I mean, it's not even, it's depressing, and there's no call to action, right? There's nothing.
Well, it's not the job of the news to call people to action, though.
I think it's the job of the news to give people news they can use, though, right? Like, that's the line that we say. Like, we tell you what the weather is because you might have plans this evening. We tell you about traffic
right.
so that you can drive around it, or in the case of
right.
86, drive right by Jean's house
and
back her
yeah,
up
and
when
back
there's
me up on the
bad
way
traffic
home.
On 85.
Please don't do that today. Yeah. Unless you're paving, in which case
fine
I love
on
you.
On 40 right now, I think. I haven't looked in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But we also, like, we give people news that affects their lives directly.
That's true.
When we're talking about news and when we're talking about issues, there should also be an element of here's how this affects you. Here's how
right.
you can be affected
by it.
Here's how you can get involved.
Yes, we want readers and listeners to find relatability in whatever mm-hmm. we are telling them about. That's one of the reasons that weather stories are almost exclusively the most read stories in a newspaper.
Yeah.
If there's
oh,
going
yeah.
to be a weather event, that is going to be on the front page of the paper no matter what else happens.
Yep.
Almost. I mean, you know, unless there's something spectacular visually.
Yeah.
A weather story is going to put a kid on a sled on the front page even if that snow was only there for 10
that
minutes.
That would be adorable.
Yeah, well, it is adorable.
But
it's probably not the most important thing that happened yesterday.
It's not the most important thing that happened yesterday, but I think when you're giving people news, it should be like an eye to news that you can use, and here's how you can use it.
Right.
It's not, I don't consider my job to have been a success if everyone listens to me and then immediately goes out and forms the barricades and gets involved in the resistance or whatever else.
I expect them to do that every weekend, Aaron.
But I do consider it a success if after listening to my show, they say, okay, if I care about this issue, here's
right.
what I can do next.
Yeah, I can get that number from the CHL website
exactly.
for Richard Burr's office and I can call them and do something.
Or something, right? And, like whether they do
reach
or
out
not,
somehow.
That's
right.
up to them. But
right.
yeah.
Including reaching out and saying to Senator Burr, thank you for doing your job on the oversight committee.
Yeah.
And whatever committees he serves on where he gets it right,
mm-hmm.
should care almost as much about telling him thanks for doing that
yeah.
right.
He was the no vote that made the difference earlier this week on $7 billion for the children's health insurance program.
Okay.
So, yeah,
right.
That happened too.
Right. Does anybody throw him a parade? Probably not.
Probably not. But
probably
I mean,
not.
Don't throw a parade for doing your
he
job.
He behaved
right?
decently, yeah. and we, you know, we're like, holy cow.
I'm going to disagree with you on Melania's jacket not being a thing. Here's why I think it is a thing. Not because there was any intent or any thought behind it or that she thought long and hard and said, here's how I'm going to stick it to the kids down in Texas, but precisely because she didn't think, right? Like, no one on her staff thought about that jacket. She didn't think about that jacket.
Well,
she didn't think, and no one on her staff thought about the message that it was going to send. She threw it on and left. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt there.
I will disagree with you on that and say I think she did think about it.
Maybe
the target isn't the one you're naming. I think maybe the target is, you know, her husband, the administration. I'm going to Texas. I'm going to go check on these kids to the extent that that's under my control to do it. I'm doing it. I don't care what you think about it. I don't care what the Republican angle on that is. I'm just doing what I think is the right thing. I'm an immigrant myself. Mm. You know, maybe that's what she's doing. And, you know, my goodness.
I did not come across if that was the case.
If she would just, you know, speak to the reporters that cover her.
And say that out loud.
And say these things one way or the other. Like, oh, it's a mistake I made picking up that jacket.
Yeah.
I didn't really mean anything by it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have Wi-Fi on her airplane. And all the way back, social media is blowing up with the fact that she wore that jacket on the way.
Oh, wouldn't it be great
and
if
she
we
wore
took
it
a
again
yeah,
from
later.
The air, from the plane
yeah.
coming home.
It'd be great if we had a newswire shot of Melania like with sunglasses on her phone, a la Hillary Clinton from a couple
yeah,
years ago.
Right. Looking at her text.
If she really, if you're right and she really wanted to stick it to her husband on that, that's how she would do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
A trail of crumbs for Donnie because, you know, he's not bright enough to have sorted that out for himself. You know, I think that in that whole story, just to be, you know, heaven forbid, serious for just a moment, mm-hmm. You know, we've heard for the last year and a half that, you know, one of these days the president is going to find himself in a crisis and it's going to be important that he has lied incessantly thousands of times every minute that he's been president because he's going to have to talk to the public about something important in a crisis and nobody's going to believe him.
No.
And I really think that this story is exactly that thing because if Donald Trump announced that he was going to address the nation tonight from the Oval Office and said, my fellow Americans, I wanted to let you know that I've taken the following steps to resolve this crisis. We have connected 96% of these children with their parents. We have them all tracked. We're going to put them all back together. These families will be reunited by July 15th.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't believe him, neither would you.
Yeah.
And the federal government of the United States of America is hiding a number of children that's approximately equal to the entire population of Orange High School and Cedar Ridge High School together, keeping them from their parents. If that puts the numbers in a perspective that's a little more relatable, that's a lot of kids. That's a lot of kids. And, if this were any other country, we'd be saying somebody needs to produce these children. That's one piece of, holy cow, it's great that everybody's kind of gotten connected to this, like a weather story in the newspaper, right? It's great that we've all gotten connected to it, but my bigger view question is, how is this not a high crime or misdemeanor?
Mm-hmm.
How is this not impeachment worthy? This is criminal. There's no way that taking these children is going to be reviewed by the courts and be found to be constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
What about that?
Yeah.
And I don't even look at Trump for that. I'm looking at Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and saying, what are you guys going to do about this?
Yeah.
You going to have hearings about this? Let's hope so.
Yeah.
He's moving money around in the federal government in the ways that we've never seen before. Allocations to Department of Defense for personnel and for beds at military bases. So what? If you're in the Army now, you're gonna be a prison guard
mm-hmm.
for migrant children. Or their families, or how is this all going to happen?
Yeah.
What are we doing that for?
And Republicans are almost certainly not going to, because they don't have an incentive to. Like, they're either in a position where they would, where they're, if they don't face a serious challenge from the left and they stand up to Trump, then they're going to face a serious challenge.
Well,
this
is the credibility crisis that I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
Is that, you're going to have to stand up and be completely straight about this pretty soon, you guys.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then if the occasion arises that in your district, it turns out there's 400 of those kids. Now what?
And this is why you're hearing
all politics is local.
The
right?
alarms coming from Flake and Corker and McCain.
Because that's where those
kids
are.
Country over party. And it's going to take people in that party to stand up and do the right thing, even though it probably will mean Mark Sanford style that they have serious trouble the next time they're running for re-election.
It's still their job
to stand up for the best interest of the country.
But these are innocent American-held hostages. This has got to be a breach of international law, and it probably is going to take time to sort out. But for those kids, the damage that's done to those kids through this trauma is going to stay with them for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to pay them reparations, them and their families, and they're going to be due that money.
Or at least we'll have a moral obligation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Well, on a lighter note, Mr. Ron Stutz in part two of our gripping interview with Ron Stutz is on this weekend, and that'll be light and fun for everyone, as it was when it first aired.
Yes. Sounds good.
Absolutely.
1 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Sunday.
That's right. I don't know what else you'd be doing.
Should be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Weekend Water Cooler with Gene Bolduc. Check out the archives on our website, chapelboro.com. They're all there as well. Gene,
thank
you so much.
Thank you.